John chapter 21. You know, Jesus, after he rose from the dead, he stayed on earth for 40 days. As you can see that in Acts chapter 1, when Luke says that that after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proof that he was alive. He appeared to them over periods of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. This is what Jesus did after he rose from the dead. So he stayed with his disciples and the people, not just his disciples, there were other people for 40 days. But John 21 is the post-resurrection, the most detailed description of a conversation that he had, or the act that he had with his disciples. So John 21, if you read John 20, 31, it seems to me that will be the end. I mean, there's a fitting end for the gospel because it says here, but these are written, all the events are written in the gospel of John, that you may believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Period. That seems to be a good ending for the gospel. But then 21 comes. It seems like John says, it's not over yet. There's one more thing I need you to know. There's one more thing. And then he recorded this episode about Jesus and Peter. Actually, if you read 21, you figure that the main character, human character, is Peter. And because Jesus did not call down any other disciples, did not speak to any, at least not recorded here, speaking to any other disciple by names. Only Peter. And then today we'll take a look at it. Why does Peter have such honor to have Jesus calling him, you know, and for John to have extra chapter just to record this event? Okay. A little context for John 21. After the resurrection, Jesus told his disciples to meet him by the Sea of Galilee. And you see this in Matthew 28:10. Sea of Galilee is significant in the New Testament. This is the place where Jesus first called his disciples. Among them was Peter. Peter was fishing in the Sea of Galilee, and then they didn't catch anything. If you remember the episode, and then Jesus said, oh, cast your net on the right side of the boat. And then they caught a lot of fish, and they put it to the shore, and then Peter immediately fell before Jesus and says, forgive me, Lord, I'm a sinner. So this is the episode where Peter first met. This area where Peter first met Jesus Christ. And Jesus, this is where Jesus told him, I will make you fisher of men. You're not going to be a fisherman anymore. You're going to be a fisher of men. So this is, see, the Galilee is significant. And this is where the ministry of Jesus began. He called his disciples, and then he started with his disciple, began to preach the good news of the kingdom. And it is also now at the beginning of a new era, from the Sea of Galilee. And Galilee is also mentioned in the last words of Jesus before he went on the cross to Peter. Just prior to Peter denying him, Jesus says, you know, I will be rose from the dead, and then you will meet me at Galilee, Sea of Galilee. And this is when Peter says, oh no, everybody will abandon you, but no, I will not. Even if I will go to death, I will never disown you. This is the word Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, was mentioned just before Peter denied Jesus Christ. So there is a lot of significance in the Sea of Galilee. It is also fitting in the story of Peter that Jesus brought Peter full circle to the place he had promised to meet them and bring Jesus' denial, bring Peter's denial front and center again. I don't know about you, you know, but I think Peter still feels a sense of guilt and shame and remorse for denying Jesus Christ. But he can't take his words back as if it never happened. How can he go on and preach the gospel? Everybody will say that he was a man with little faith, or that, oh, he's the man who denied Jesus Christ at Jesus' most desperate moment. Or worse, he was a traitor, not worthy of being Jesus' disciples. What about his standing among his 12 disciples? What about that? He could become a person of non grata, which means that unwelcome, unacceptable person among the disciples. He will never recover from his one impulsive mistake. But Jesus doesn't think that way of Peter. Doesn't think that way of Peter. And Jesus now come to Peter to resolve his hidden guilt, shame, and restore him into the rightful place. As he already, we just read, that upon this rock, I shall build my church. He's going to restore that rock to a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And he does this in chapter 21. He does it in three different ways. Three ways. First, he recreate memories for the disciples. And the second, he restore a relationship with Peter. And then the last one, that he refocus Peter on following him. Don't worry about other people. Just remember to follow me. Okay, I'm going to read it. You can just think if you can place some of the verses into these three main points. Recreating a memory, restoring a right relationship, and focus on the task. Afterward, this is chapter 21, verse 1. After Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee, it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the son of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they say, well, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Oh, there's a certain memory, right? They caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood by the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. Oh, again, the memory of that first meeting. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him said, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him and jump into the water. The other disciples follow in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore. About 100 yards, when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coal there with fish on it and some bread. You know, this fire with burning coal is only appeared twice in the Gospel of John. The first time you know is when? When Peter was warming himself in the courtyard just before he denied Jesus. He was warming himself, and then somebody came to him and says, do you know this Jesus? I think that you went with him. And Peter says, no, I don't know him. So this fire, this charcoal, also invokes memories. This is when Peter first denied Jesus. He was by the charcoal of fire. And here Jesus had the fire to cook something for them. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared to ask, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Then the third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He says, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. In verse 20, Peter turned around and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This disciple was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and has said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked the Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testified to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this is your words. And we ask your Holy Spirit to come to share with us the meaning of these words and share with us in the, the restorations that you did for Peter, as much as the restoration you did for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I already kind of highlight for you a certain thing that Jesus did here in 21 as referred back to the gospel, what he did with the disciple. He recreating a memory. Recreating the time when the disciple first met Jesus. Recreating a memory that Jesus called them to follow him. And recreating a memory about them trying their best effort to catch something while unable to do it. But Jesus was able to tell them what to do. And this is how they recognized Jesus, because all these events happened, just like they had remembered Jesus did three years ago. Memory is a powerful thing. They can ignite passions and brings hope and faith to the disciples. But bad memory also brings shame and guilt. So a lot of time, God brings these memories to us. The reason we remember because God wants to do something with these memories. God wants to do something with it. If the bad memory comes up, God wants you to make your confessions and show your sorrow and remorse for these bad memory, and believing also these things God has forgiven. Your slate is wiped clean. That's the bad memory. The good memories, God brings it to you so that you can give thanks to what God has done. To also to highlight for you that God is always working in your life. Of course, that includes bad things happen too. That including bad things happen. But good and bad, God is always actively working. The memory help us to recognize that. God does that for us. God does that for us. I think the mixed feeling for Peter, like I said before, he was happy to see Jesus Christ. Because you see that he jumped into the water, he couldn't even wait until the boat gets to the shore. He jumps into the water. He wants to get there first. But, you know, he was silenced. In this episode, in this chapter 21, you don't see Peter, except when Jesus asks him questions, you don't see Peter volunteering answers. You don't see Peter saying anything. He learned to be silent. He yielded the words to God. Yield to the Lord to speak first. And here the scripture says, none of them dare to ask, who are you? I wanna sort of kind of do a sidebar on here. It is not the disciple doesn't know who he is, because they already said it is the Lord, right? It is the Lord. They all recognize Jesus. The question is, I think what they say, they are afraid to ask, who are you, Jesus? That's very different from who are you? He's asking, who are you, Jesus? Because what they know about Jesus because of resurrection, everything has to change. The understanding of who the Lord is needs reinterpretations, needs reevaluations,
needs recalibrations. Who are you, Jesus? You're not the Jesus that we have been following you for 3 years. You not only is the one that who speak wisdom of God, who did this miracle. You rose. I saw you dead. I saw they put you in the tomb. But now you're here. Who are you, Jesus? That's the question. I think the disciples were afraid to ask. They were afraid to ask, who are you, Jesus? So, Jesus has very few words. Jesus did not explain to them why he is where he is. Jesus only speak a few words. He invite them to eat, to come and eat the breakfast. And then afterwards, then Jesus got up and spoke to Peter. I think Jesus doesn't say much because I think Jesus wants to let this event, let the resurrection event, let what they're doing now be a silent moment of reflections. Silent moment of reflections. This is someone that you saw dead on the cross. Now he is also the one, you know, who stands before you, feeding you with fish. This is the someone who called you 3 years ago with a similar locations, almost the same circumstances. Now he is also speaking to you from the same circumstances. Think about that. Think, reflect on the moment. You know, I feel like for us Christians, we always want to have a lot of noise around us. I mean, whether you're in the church worshiping with songs and then you hear the preacher preach the words and all that. You always want to have, I won't say noises, but you always want to have sound. But I think what God wants us to do is that we also want to crave for some silent moment where you can think, where you can reflect, where you can appreciate. That's why when we go hiking, you know, we don't, you go hiking, you see a lot of, we went hiking. There was a group of people who just talked and it was so loud. You know, they're halfway up the mountain. We can hear them. But then I think at the moment that we appreciate the most is that just my daughter and I, we were just on the path and nobody said anything. It just appreciate a sense of silence and what God is doing in and around us. So if you read John 21, you come away with the conclusion that Jesus meet with them in Galilee is for the sake of Peter. And that will be correct. And it also, it seems that Jesus deliberately invoked these memories for Peter's sake, because he did not single anyone else but Peter, because he wants to restore Peter in the right relationship with himself. This relationship is strained from the night Peter denied him 3 times. Now, before Jesus ascend to heaven, he wants Peter to have a right, devoted, intimate relationship with him, because he has said before, upon this rock, I shall build my church. Now, if this rock is not in the right relationship with Jesus Christ, it'll be kind of difficult to build his church upon this rock.
What happened if Jesus did not do this for Peter? I believe Peter will carry his regret of denial of Jesus to his grave. He will not become Peter, the first among 12. He will not have the authority and influence in the early church. He will not have the sway in the Jerusalem council when leadership was deciding the fate of the Gentiles in the church. If you read Galatians, you realize what's going on there. The early church were not accepting Gentile unless they become a Jew first. In other words, to get circumcised, to follow the law of Moses. Then they can be welcomed into the church. That was the debate. And it was Peter who stood up and shared with the church the vision that he had from all this unclean animal coming from heaven, descending, and Jesus telling him to kill and eat. And then after that, a Roman centurion come over and ask Peter to preach the gospel to them. This is the first Gentile that Peter reached out to. So Peter stood up in the Jerusalem council to talk about, to share these visions from the Lord. And that swayed the council to say, yes, God had also received the Gentile into the church. So let's not burden them with them to become Jews. Let's receive them as who they are. So, but that was Peter. Peter is the one who swayed the council. Can you imagine if Peter was not restored in the right relationship? He would not have this authority and standing among his brothers. He obviously won't be able to sway the leadership in Jerusalem. But mostly, I think Jesus did this for Peter. You know, Peter may believe that his denial had been forgiven. But in his heart, he cannot forget that episode. He might say, yes, God has forgiven me, but I will always remember that, the time when I denied my Lord. He cannot move on because he remembers. He remembers what he did. And I think for this time, when Jesus came to him and asking these questions, he is not only restored his relationship, he wiped clean his memories. That is not important anymore. That denial is not important anymore. Jesus had received you. And Jesus did that publicly to restore him. It's not just private. Okay, Jesus called him to the side, asking these questions. He was asking Peter these questions right in front of his brothers, the 12 disciples. He asked this, he restored him by asking him same questions three times. You know, many debates were focusing on the word love because they are different. In the Greek text, Jesus asked Peter agape, the love, the words agape. The first two times he used agape. So it's like Jesus to Peter, do you agape me? And Peter says, you know I love you. But this love, this word love is filial, which means brotherly, brotherly affectionate love. So there is a playing on words. Jesus asked for agape love. Peter responds in filial love. So that's second time Jesus said, do you agape me? And Peter says, you know I filial you. So Peter said, answer all three times with filial. And the third time Jesus changed, do you filial me? And then Peter says, Lord, you know all things. You know I filial you. So some people say, oh, you know, there's some significance to this nuance in language. But according to the New Testament scholar D.A. Carson, he says, probably not. There's no difference. Because why? Because John, in the Gospel of John uses interchangeably. For example, John says, you know, Jesus loved his disciple like brothers. Jesus filial his disciple like brothers. But at the same time, in John 3:16, God so agape the world. So he uses these things, both are attributed to God, to the divine. So he says probably not. You know, we're just trying to make something. Maybe it's not actually there. Instead, he says, we ought to ask, why three times? Why three times? Some people will suggest, oh yes, because Peter denied Jesus three times, so Jesus has to restore him three times. Maybe, but I think there's maybe a little better explanations. I think the three times let Peter pause to think about his answer, because you know that he was thinking about this. The third time he was upset because Jesus asked him three times. He was hurt. Don't you believe me, Jesus? I think the three times is to give Peter a to pause in his thinking, in his answer. Because Peter by nature is impulsive. He said a lot of things, impulsive things. He denied Jesus. It was an impulsive answer. It's an impulsive response. He says that Jesus is the Messiah. It's impulsive. And that's why Jesus says, you did not consider this. Actually, my dad gave it to you. My father gave this answer to you. And he's also impulsive. Remember when Jesus took the three disciples up to the mountain to do a transfiguration? You know what Peter says? Peter says, oh, should I build three altar for you so we can worship you? You don't know what you're talking about, Jesus. So by nature, Peter never think much before he answers. So Jesus asked him three times to make sure his response, he understands what he's saying. Jesus says in Luke 9:23, what? If anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me daily. There is a cause to love Jesus Christ. So when you say, I love you, Lord, I love you, have you considered the cost? Because if you love Jesus Christ, you have to obey him. And if you obey him, he might not lead you to the places you want to go. Because John said that already, right? He says, when you get older, when he's telling what? In verse 19, John explains, Jesus said this about love. It's because what? When you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. So love has a cost. It's not impulsive saying, okay, I love you. Like a newlywed. I love you. I love you. But when things got really difficult, love disappear. So I think when Jesus asked Peter three times, he wants Peter to consider the cost of following Jesus Christ. And the last answer seems to be most interesting, because he says what? Third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And there's a little bit more. Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. I see, it's the third time Peter got honest with Jesus. First two times he may still impulsively because he's passionate for the Lord. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. But the third time, he is not so certain anymore. He's not so certain anymore because he has said something in the past where he says, I will never disown you. And then he broke his promise. Now this time, he says, Lord, you know everything. You know my mind, you know my heart, and you know my strength. By human devotions and human passions, I can say I love you. But when challenges come, I am not sure. I am not sure. But you know, Lord, you know me. You know me. I trust. At those times, you will supply me with the strength, the will, the determinations to continue my love promise for you. I think that's what the last answer indicates Peter's heart. I cannot trust my own answer. I cannot trust my own answer. I can only trust you, Lord, that you know my answer. And you will help me to keep my promise to you. And then, after each of these questions, Jesus tells Peter, feed my sheep, lead my sheep. So it kind of tells me for ministry, a Christian ministry, it is not that you can get more training about how to lead a Bible study, more training how to become a better leaders, more training, more activities that you want to involve. No. The ministry starts in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Ministry built on that. How much do you love me? Do you love me as you do ministry? Do you love me? Not what I can do for you, Jesus. What I can do for you. But Jesus doesn't need you to do anything. He can speak one word and the word was made. He doesn't need you to do anything. How much do you love God? That's the whole ministry is built on that. The whole ministry. And that's the mistake I make often as a pastor. I feel I need to do some more. I want to do more for God. God says, no. You learn to love me. Then you can feed my sheep.
then you can feed my sheep. Okay. And then the third part of this, Jesus refocusing on Peter. You know, Peter is just such a, I can identify with Peter than any of the apostles. Peter, after he got the call, right? After he answered all these spiritual questions, and after he has really considered and really see the, his own weaknesses, and then he says, then Jesus, you know, then Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. He says, what about him? What about him? This spiritual moment, it turned into this. What about him? What about him? I'm just so thankful that God has so much patience with Peter, and he's not a finished project, you know? What about him? And there's a lot of distractions, I'm telling you, okay? Not just in ministry, just in life. Just in life, there's so much distractions. I mean, your kids know, even you're going to school, you only have one thing, is to finish the school with a good grade and move on. But then there's all kinds of distractions trying to distract you from that goal. Jesus tell Peter, you love me, feed my sheep, follow me. Follow me. And then Peter says, what about this guy? What about that guy? You know? Oh, man. And also Jesus answers, said, if I want him to do something, okay? If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? Again, I think Jesus brought one of the distractions to us is that who's in charge? Jesus says, hey, you know, I'm in charge. I want him to do this. What is that to you? Often, you know, I think we are passionate about a certain subject, a certain ministry. We want other people to also feel the same way. We want them to follow us, you know, catch the same spirit, catch the same passions. Jesus says, no, I have other things. I have other plans for them. I have other plans for them. You know, speaking about that, is that we have always been very passionate about young people. But often we're trying to say, why don't you? Why can't you see the same way, same thing I see? Have the passion for the young people. But I'm so glad, you know, when I was a pastor in the church, God has burdened certain people with senior citizen. Burden certain people, call certain people to work with the family with children, or certain people to serve the restaurant workers. So they come alongside of me. And then so we could have a ministry of church that cater to everyone. And not just everybody cater to students and young people. So praise God for that. Praise God for that. So, but you have to let God be God. When you do that, you have to let God be God. So the distraction is always there. But Jesus said, don't look at other things. Just follow me, what I call you to do. Toward the end of his life, Peter, toward the end of Peter's life, he has never forgotten this moment in John 21. He has never forgotten this moment. But he was called to feed the sheep. He was called to be the shepherd for God. And he has never forgot the commissions that he received from Jesus at the Sea of Galilee. You can see this in his last letters. Just before he was, you know how Peter died? He died as a martyr, you know. He died because of his faith. he was crucified in Rome. And he told the people who crucified him, says, I am not worthy to crucify in the same positions as my Lord. So they crucified him upside down. So that's Peter. Do you love me? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Okay, this is before he passed, before he was martyred, this is what he says to the church, to the church, to the elders among you, elders in this case, the shepherd, the overseers. I appeal as a fellow elder. I am also a overseer and shepherd, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flocks that is under your care, serving as overseer, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lord it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flocks. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. This is the Peter who was called to be the shepherd of the church. This is the Peter whom God, Jesus says, I will build my church on this rock. This is the Peter who was a fisherman, but he became a shepherd. Became a shepherd. And I feel that's why John 21 is such a critical chapter for the whole history of the church, and particularly for Peter. Because here, in his most important post-resurrection act, is to restore Peter in the right relationship with himself. So the Peter that he can build his church upon the ministry of Peter and going forth. Let's pray.